We're going to be going through the remaining verses. We went through 11 through 13 last week. We're going to go through 14 through 21. Slowing down where need be. There's some really good things in verses 11 through 13. Just to give you guys a little bit of a recap on these verses, 8 through 21, we're seeing Daniel's purpose has been ignited. There's something that God has just stirred in this young man. He's about 15 years of age. We came into verse 8, we see that there was reasoning that was taking place. If you remember, he was reasoning through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God had convicted him because he was taken into this place called Babylon, uprooted from his home. I believe he was made a eunuch, or in other words, castrated. He had really every reason to be rebellious, and we're going to see that he just acted maturely, appropriately, and it was a great example for us. So when we get to this verse here, verse 8, we see that there's this conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he senses it, and then he knows that there's got to be a conversation to take place. Then we see in verses 9 and 10, we see there's a response. Daniel responds to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in humility, but in boldness. And you remember, he said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to eat these pagan foods. They weren't kosher. God had said in his law, here's how I want you to eat. And Daniel says, I can't do that. I can't eat these things because God has commanded me not to do it. So he honored him. All kinds of application for us in not being swayed and not being converted into the world. Pagan principles, a pagan diet. We are to have a godly diet. And if you remember, we've talked about this. We're going to talk about it again today. But what we're seeing in Daniel chapter 1 is that it's way more than the physical diet. It's a spiritual appetite that we're talking about. It's not so much the foods. And certainly for us, we've got a lot of freedoms, like bacon. I love eating bacon. Bacon is meat candy. Again, don't get me carried away with bacon. Bacon goes good on everything. Amen?
Amen.
So amen. I love it. We're all on the same page. So I wish I had... okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. I shouldn't do this during study, but if anybody's got any good deals on bacon, like if you know where I can get like mass amounts of bacon at, I'm looking to buy, like, I'm not joking around. I am totally serious. I love, no, I'm talking like mass, bulk, like, you know, they sell what, like 3 or 4 pounds at a time, 10 pounds maybe? I'm talking a little bit more now. So just.
Take your wild hog, huh?
And get it processed, right? So you guys understand, like, when we're talking about bacon, listen, but that was not kosher. That wasn't right in the Old Testament. And so the things even that tasted good, the delicacies of the king, Daniel said, I don't want to eat that. I want to honor the Lord. And we really see that that spiritual appetite was greater than his physical appetite. And so he responds to the conviction. He goes to the steward. You guys know this. And he begins a conversation because of the conviction. He says, listen, I don't want to do this. I don't want to defile me. I don't want to walk away from the things that God has given to me. And in verses 11 through 13, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to last week's message. It's online. It's on the web. He requests. And his request is a great example of how we need to lay out our plans before God. Listen, there's 5 steps that every Christian should consider in their approach, in their planning, in their response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's excellent application. So we slowed down a lot right there because it was so good and so rich. So we're going to see that Daniel's purpose is ignited, not just in his reasoning, his responding, his requesting, but also in the results. That's what we're going to look at, verses 14 through 16, and then we'll get to the final part shortly. But we're going to see there's results. What happens when you follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit? God responds. 18 through 21 is going to talk about that. We're going to see the results before. We're going to see God honoring that, and I want you to understand that God honors obedience. So during the study, what we need to be incorporating in is there any conviction of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts? Are you doing anything that you shouldn't be doing? Do you have anything planned that you shouldn't be doing? Are you already doing something? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where growth takes place. This is where you and I battle at. That's the honest truth. And you guys understand that. There's transparency here. You and I struggle with sin. we're to say no to sin, and we're to do what's right, and we're going to seek the Lord, and we need to be pleasing to him. And we saw last week that he honors that. He absolutely honors that, and he brings favor to us. Remember the word hesed, the Hebrew word hesed. That's God's favor. It's his covenant care for his children. And that's how he responds, according to that hesed. And we need to be living in that hesed as much as possible. And so we're going to see the results of responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and receiving that hesed, that covenant care for God's children. We're going to see it in the lives of Daniel and his three friends. So as the introduction ends, let's begin in prayer here. Father, we just thank you for today. We ask that you'd bless our study. We pray that you'd minister to our hearts. We pray that you'd bless the children and the youth and those that are serving there. God, let your spirit fall fresh today. God, speak to us boldly. God, help us to see and to understand that there is great potential in obeying you, that it is absolutely worth it every single time, Lord, regardless of how we feel, regardless of persecution. Lord, you are going to always show your hesed towards us. And so, God, I just pray that you would minister to our hearts. I pray that you'd challenge us today. Thank you again for your word, Lord. We absolutely treasure it here. And so, Lord, with that treasuring, with that cherishing of your word, God, we open ourselves up. We lay down our lives. We take up our cross and we follow you. Whatever your word says, Lord, we need to do it. And so I pray that you'd speak from that perspective to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see in verse 14, we see that there's an examination. As part of these results, we see that an examination is allowed. Let me read 14 through 16, Daniel chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, but we're going to come back to verse 14. So if you're there, follow along as I read. It says in verse 14, so he, the steward, he consented with them, Daniel and his friends, in this matter, and he tested them 10 days. If you remember, this is part of what Daniel said. This is the 10-day test. In verse 15, it says, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So he followed up on this. Great, great examples here for us. So there was an examination that was allowed. We talked about this last week. The length of the test was 10 days. 10 days. This is a very given period of time. Listen, sometimes when we go to the Lord and we're asking things, we're praying, when we're praying for a healing, when we're praying for something, sometimes we have got to ask God for a timestamp. God, would you do it this very hour? Would you do it this night? Would you do it in the next week? Lord, in the next 10 days? Lord, in the next year? Would you accomplish this task? We need to prayerfully consider the Lord in this. Daniel, as we talked about last week, he approached God and he heard from God, and God gave him this period of time. He's following that conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's following that conversation that he had with God, and then he's communicating that to the steward. So I want to just kind of throw this in a little bit because it's a lot of prayer going on. It doesn't specifically say it in chapter 1, but a lot of prayer. Daniel was a man who, he prayed religiously. When we get later on in the book, we're going to see Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. He was committed to the Lord in prayer. And I'm telling you, that is one of the toughest things for me to do. Maybe you'd agree with me. That is one of the toughest things to do, is to pray. I get very, very lazy about that. And God has to convict me through messages like this. Like, why aren't you praying more, Robert? Maybe you share that conviction. But there was a given period of time for this test to be done. What do you think would happen on a 10-day diet? Just, you don't have to respond, but what kind of a difference do you think it would make to have a 10-day diet? I've done all kinds of diets. The longest I've ever fasted was 7 days. And then I remember one time I was on this cleanse diet, the Master's Cleanse, not promoting anything. I'm just telling you, I did this, and it flushed everything out, right? And I lost probably about 14 pounds, right? You guys with me? Like, sometimes you go through these diets, and it's very healthy for you. It's a cleanse for your colon and your liver, and there's a lot of health benefits. So I'm not promoting or you know, you have to go where you want. But I'm telling you that you lose some weight in some of these, right? These cleanse diets, right? What's the best that would happen in 10 days? That's a relatively short period of time. And I can tell you, if I only had vegetables and water, I don't think there would be a lot of a difference in my face. I think if I did one of these cleanse diets, where it was like liquid and cayenne pepper and honey and lemon juice. And if you guys are with me, some of these things, and then taking other things that they have in that, I won't get into right now, but there's the Kalenjin. Are you guys with me? If you guys sound like you know what I'm talking about, it's at the end of the time, I'll lose about 10, 15 pounds probably. However, I'm going to look sunken. I'm not going to look vibrant. And I'm going to be hungry. And I'm very durable when it comes to fasting. I can take fast for lengths of time. I get a little dizzy sometimes, you know. I get a little tired, you know, quicker. But I'm pretty durable. But at the end of those 10 days, I think I would be just not feeling good. I've done it before, and I just get hungry. You guys know how much I like to eat, right? I talk about pretty, I mean, I really enjoy eating, and there's no secret, you know. So I'm like, really? We didn't know that. But what I want to point out to you, and it's very important you to understand this, is that it goes way beyond the physical diet. It goes way beyond the physical appetite. There's a spiritual passion that exists in him. I'm passionate about eating. I'm looking forward to, and I know this probably sounds bad. There's probably something wrong with me, but I'm looking forward to going home today. I plan ahead. Like yesterday, I started thinking, what am I going to have? Because this morning I had overnight oats and a rock star. And, you know, this afternoon, I think, gosh, I kind of cheated a little bit yesterday. So, you know, I'm just probably going to have fried chicken patties, right? And make my own Chick-fil-A sauce. And, gosh, anyways, I love those Chick-fil-A things. But there's a whole lot more going on than just a diet in all of this. There's something spiritually taking place in this young man. And we should be emulating that. Don't turn there, okay? But I really want to finish Daniel chapter 1. I'm not trying to delay, but there's things God puts on my heart, even while I'm teaching, that aren't necessarily in my notes. I want you to understand this. Write down this passage if you're taking notes, or mentally if you can do that. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now let me build this story up. What had happened is that the Philistines were going to war with the Israelites, and Saul, you know, Saul was a coward. So Saul, what he did was he ended up saying, pulling back his people, and he's like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't go. And he's trying to act like a big man, but, you know, has this total front, a facade on, and he's trying to act brave, but he's really just cowarding, and he's causing his army to be cowards. So his son Jonathan, who, you know, his soul was linked, was knit together with David's. There was some sort of bravery that both of these young men had. And Saul takes his armor bearer, and the wonderful, great story. 1 Samuel 14, he goes out and he says, you know what, to his armor bearer, let's go up. Let's just see. Maybe God's in this. Let's step up. So they go up to the crest of the mountain, the little hill. And he says, if they say this to us, we'll stay right here. But if they say, come up and see us, then we know God has given them over to us. Totally fleeces the situation. His armor bearer says, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you, man. And I'll follow through and we'll defeat the enemy. So two guys go against a whole army, the whole Philistine troop that's sitting right there. They climb up. They invite him up. So they go, this is it, man. It's on. And so they go through and they start wiping him out. God causes an earthquake to take place. They start killing each other. Saul and his army are looking down. They're like, oh my gosh, look at what's happening here. So they start getting ready for war. Now that Saul's an opportunist, he's going to get ready for war. And he makes this claim. Saul says, as the king, cursed be any man who eats before nightfall. And I have avenged my reputation against these enemies. I want vengeance against my enemies. And if anybody eats, you're dead meat. It's your head. So the troops are all, right? They go out. They go to war. Jonathan comes back. He doesn't know that rash oath, that self-serving, fake leadership approach that Saul had been stated. And so he goes and he finds a honeycomb and he begins eating it. And the Bible says in verse 27, he eats some honey. And the Bible says in verse 27 that his countenance, listen, it says his countenance changed. It brightened. There is something, and if you've ever gone on a fast, and when you eat again, there's something like it. I mean, it's joy for me. I absolutely love to eat after a fast, and I'm sure I get a big smile on my face. But I'm telling you, it's a lot more than the physical. I want you guys to understand this. And I'm going to show you in just a moment. I'm going to give you a couple passages to write down along with this. There is an absolute spiritual work that God is doing when you obey Him with your diet, with your spiritual passions. Are you with me? When the Lord is moving in our lives, when we're obedient to Him, it causes our countenance to shine. We look healthier. We act happier. This is in addition to any type of good genetics. So you could have horrible genetics. That doesn't make a difference whether you have good or bad genetics and you look good for your age or whatever. When there's something glowing, there is something radiant. Are you guys with me? There's something radiant about pursuing God in obedience. Are you with me? Walking in His will, following the conviction of the Holy Spirit, obeying Him, honoring Him with all that you do, there is something absolutely radiant that takes place. Have you ever seen those people that they are on fire and they're walking with the Lord? They don't have to be good-looking people, and I'm not saying that we should judge people on that criteria, but they don't have to be like in shape. And there is a glow, there is a radiance about them, and it's supported biblically, not just here in Daniel 1, not just in 1 Samuel 14, but also in Psalm 34:5 and Isaiah 62:4-5. Because these verses, write these ones down, Psalm 34:5 and Isaiah 62:4-5, or memorize these ones. It says basically this: they looked to the Lord, they looked to His glory, and their faces became radiant. That's not poetic. That's not some poetic way of saying, you know, hey, look at when you look to the Lord, man, you become just absolutely glowing. There's something that happens. Maybe only the saved people, maybe only the spiritual people can see it. But I'm telling you, I can tell when somebody's on fire with the Lord because there's a glow about them. And again, I'm not being poetic. I'm being biblical. I want you to understand this. I want to lay this one layer upon another as we look at this life of Daniel, this very young man, this man who is honoring God even in the midst of all this persecution that's against him. You don't want to miss all of these applications because this is where life, the Christian life, gets exciting for us. This is where it's dynamic. This is where we want to be. This is where you should be sensing like I'm sensing. Robert, don't do that. Robert, do that. Because you want to be glowing and you want to be radiant before God. I wonder if we could see spiritually into that realm. And we're talking about that on Wednesday nights, by the way. I love it when they overlap from Wednesday nights. But we're talking about there's a whole different realm spiritually. I wonder if the angels walk by and they go, oh, look, that guy is lit up. Look at how on fire he is. You know, what they'll do is they'll come by and kick you in the head while they're flying by, right? And then the guys who are like, they're dull, they're like, oh, you know, I don't have to mess. That guy's right where we want him. Dull, compromising, not seeking the Lord. But this one's on fire. We better attack this one. And as we talked about on Wednesday night, and as we're continuing to talk about on Wednesday nights, as we're talking about here in the book of Daniel, that whole spiritual warfare realm, so important that we're dialed into it. So important that we know what's going on because we need to be ready for those times. So when we are walking with the Lord, we know the warfare is going to come. But we know, as we studied on Wednesday night, God's got plans and He brings maturity, great maturity. If you're paying attention, if anybody, and I know people were paying attention on Wednesday night, you got that out of the study. God has great growth. That's what God wants to do. He wants to mature us. He wants to grow us. So we see this wonderful application this morning. Stay focused on the Lord. Obey Him. Seek to please Him. Honor Him above all else. And then enjoy the glow and the radiance that the Lord will bring with all of that. You with me? I mean, that's enough of a message right now. I could just end. I'm not going to, okay? But I could just end right now. That is enough of a message and send you out of here because that's good stuff and it's biblical. But we'll proceed. We go from verse 14, where the examination is allowed, to the evidence is seen in verse 15. It says this in verse 15. It says, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter than in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Again, we talked about whatever your favorite food would be. Can you imagine God saying, I don't want you eating that? And then you honor Him. Well, they looked fatter. They looked fuller. There was some vibrance. There was that glow and that radiance that was taking place. And so the results are in. And verse 15 says, the evidence is seen. Daniel and his friends took their stand for the Lord and they looked far better. By the way, would you do me a favor? If you're coming Wednesday nights on Grow Wednesdays, would you just make a mental note right now? They made their stand. Are you guys with me? listen, I'm going to say it, I'm going to repeat it so it gets locked in for Wednesday nights, because when we get to, and we've already talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night, but you need to make a stand. And that's what the command is in Ephesians 6. Stand. Stand, therefore. He says it four different times. The same withstand. It says it four different times in those four verses, 10 through 14. Stand, 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 stand. That's what you do in a spiritual battle. You stand your ground. You don't backtrack. You go forward. We're going to get to more of that later. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But I want you to understand this. They made their stand. The results are in. And it shows. And if you look at verse 15, the last phrase, the last sentence here, it says, all the young men who ate, in comparison to all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. That is Jews and Gentiles alike. These four young Hebrew boys, they weren't the only Hebrew boys that were there. They were the only four that made the stand. They made a stand together. That's why we need to do things. Make a stand together. You stand for what's right. And then you go against the king of this world, the king, and you follow the king of kings' delicacies. You have a spiritual appetite. So the evidence is seen. So verse 14, the examination is allowed. Verse 15, the evidence is seen. Verse 16, the elimination is made. Verse 16 says, thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. This is awesome. Woohoo time. This is great news. Right, I could have said that probably a little more passionately. Felt a little dumb saying woohoo, but that's what I have in my notes. I put woohoo because I thought, woohoo! Like, this is good. This is awesome. God honored it. And so then the steward says, you know what? There's evidence here, and I can stand behind this with you. This pagan, this non-believer says, I'm going to follow the diet of the of Jehovah God. I'm going to follow after what you're saying because I see that there's wisdom in this. I see that there's a benefit to the stand. And he allowed Daniel and his friends to continue with their godly diet. So Daniel's seizure, chapter 1, we see Daniel's seizure, verses 1 through 7, it impacted his position. 8 through 16, it ignited his purpose. So what happens when you make a stand for God and you honor him in this world? I want you to write down this passage mentally or physically, and I want you to memorize this. It's not a hard verse to memorize, and we're just a part of it. 1 Samuel 2:30, let this be one of your memory verses. It says, for those who honor me, I will honor. If you honor God, you have his promise in 1 Samuel 2:30 that if you honor him, he will honor you. And I want you to understand that, because when you do make that stand, you need to know that. You need to take that to the bank. You need to go back to God and say, God, you told me if I honor you, that you're going to honor me. You're not twisting his arm. You're not using something against him. You're simply following up with his word. He says, I'm going to honor those who honor me. By the way, it's interesting that the order is, if you honor God, not he's going to honor you first. If you first honor him, then he's going to honor you. Very important. The obedience comes before the blessing in this. Okay? We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, but the honoring comes after the obedient act. So God's going to respond to our actions, our decisions, our stands that we're going to make. In verses 17 through 21, we're going to see this response to the stand and the commitment that Daniel and his friends made. And the third point, excuse me, chapter 1, is that Daniel's seizure inspires his provision. Daniel's seizure inspires his provision. Do you think that Daniel expected God to bless him in the way that he did? I don't think so. It's just purely an opinion. I can't be for sure. I'm just telling you, I don't know. I think he was just saying, I'm going to be obedient no matter what. But in this, I don't think that Daniel thought God was going to do all these things. Again, if you're taking notes, here's another good passage for you. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's a famous passage that we quote a lot of times, but God is able to bless you, and he's able to bless me above and beyond, exceedingly above and beyond all that you can ask in prayer or think. I want to expand your boundaries here a little bit. Listen, church, God says don't despise the day of small beginnings. Our small beginnings in our fellowship seem to be a little longer, right? These days seem a little longer. I'd like to grow a little bit, be honest with you. But don't despise these days. God does a work. He's doing a work. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, because he's going to increase, because he's going to grow. And I think that we need to approach our walks with the fact that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. And I think we need to have that expanded horizon. Like, couldn't God do something? Doesn't God want to do something? Don't lose track of that. Don't get disheartened. I'm guilty of this. I'll be honest with you. Don't get discouraged. I've shared that with you guys. I get discouraged in this. These are the words that I hear the Lord saying, Robert, don't get discouraged. I'm not done. Don't be disheartened. You keep pressing forward. That's what Daniel, we're going to see by the end of this study, and we're going to finish. I'm committed, okay? I'm making my word to you, okay? We're going to finish Daniel chapter 1 today. And we're going to see that he just kept going and he kept going and he kept going. And we need to keep going. To the last day, we need to keep going. So I think we should be giving thoughts and trust to what God is able to do on our behalf. I don't know who it was who said this, so I'm going to say it anonymously. But I think one of the problems that Christians have is they don't know who God is, what he's able to do, and what he wants to do for them. It's kind of a loose paraphrase, but I think a lot of times people just, you just don't realize how giving God is. Our God is incredibly giving, and our God cares greatly for you. And the Bible says if he didn't deny allowing his son to go to the cross and die for us, why would he withhold any good thing from you? You take passages like that into prayer and you say, God, you said you didn't even hold back your son. Why would you withhold this good thing from me? I need salvation here. I need this person to get saved, God, and I'm pleading for their life with you. And then you keep pleading. And you don't despise those days, because in due season, that person's going to get saved. Don't give up. Whatever God's putting on your heart right now, don't give up on that. If he's called you to it, keep going. It's going to happen. So God's hesed continues here in these verses. His covenant care for his children continues in the area of provision and protection. We're going to see in verse 17, there's three different ways. The source, he's the one true living God. The studies and the skills. That's the outline for verse 17. So Daniel's seizure inspires provision of their understanding, verse 17. If you'd follow along as I read this, it says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Ah, good stuff. Listen, if you're taking notes, don't tune out. Listen very, very closely. Listen, verse 17. Do you guys see the word God? Do you see that? Listen, I have put a note in my Bible, just learned this through this study. The article, the definite article, the, appears in the Hebrew before the word God. So let me read this in context properly from the Hebrew. It says this, verse 17. As for these four young men, the God, the one true living God, God Almighty, Jehovah God, El Shaddai, the one and only God, he did this. He responded. He's their source. It emphasizes that Jehovah God is giving them wisdom. And it says that he gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. So we go from the source to their studies. God gave them wisdom. He gave them, this word skill means wisdom, circumspection. He gave them the ability to give attention to. They were sharpened in their minds. They had a very particular set of skills, ones that they had acquired over a good period of time, ones that made them a nightmare for some people. Kind of reminds me of this. Now,
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you were looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have, I have a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
I've been waiting a long time to use that one. Oh, good luck. Yeah. So listen. We got through the part that I wanted. You could end it. It's okay. Is there more? He gets, they hang up on him, right? So I never really want to promote Hollywood. I love watching movies, and I really like this scene. Let me tell you this. That God can give you a skill. We're not to kill people. You guys understand that, right? Like, I kind of wish I could have edited that out. But it could be, we could be a nightmare for some people. You know why? Because we're the temples of the Holy Spirit. And when we walk into a room, when we walk into a place of darkness, we shine. And we're bright. And it makes people unnerved and uncomfortable. And you need to accept that and then deal from that perspective in a way to share the light with them, to share the gospel. And so listen, God will give you a particular set of skills. It may be acquired over a career as a Christian or maybe a short period of time like these four young Hebrew boys. But we should be functioning in these skills, and that's what had happened. Daniel and his friends grew in their discernment of truth and error. Why is that so important? Because this culture, because this leadership that they're under, the Babylonian leadership, wanted to indoctrinate them. I'm telling you right now, the world wants to indoctrinate our kids. The world wants to indoctrinate us. They want to take our the way we're thinking and then twist it and pervert it so that we don't judge people. We should be judging people. Absolutely be judging people. That's biblical to judge people. Not in their salvation, not in the heart. We should judge them according to what they do, according to their fruit. And that's right from Jesus' mouth. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and I believe David. Solid believers in the Bible said, judgments, we're supposed to do that. So I want you to understand this, that these Babylonians attempted to indoctrinate them in the religion of the Chaldeans. What did that include? Magic, astrology, soothsaying, which was palm readers, fortune-telling, seances, philosophy, sorcery, witchcraft, which includes drugs and pharmakia. The Greek word pharmacy, right? For where we get pharmacy from, pharmaceuticals, and superstition. The greater skill, listen, church, listen, so important you understand this because the world would love to indoctrinate us and get us passive and compromised in these areas. The greater skill that we need is a sensitivity to God, a sensitivity to the Spirit. So important you'd understand that. We shouldn't be following the ways of the world or the promotion of paganism because it's inferior to the ways of the Lord. And that will be tested, tried, and true over time, and it will always prove to be right. We don't hear that message enough in the church today. It's too easy to say, well, you know, we're gonna adjust the way that we teach for this particular group of people. God doesn't look at it that way. We're all one. That's what God looks at it. And it's either right or it's wrong. Amen? So we go to the last part of verse 17, and there was a work of provision done specifically, exclusively in Daniel's life, and it said that he had this increased skill and understanding in all visions and dreams. The other thing to consider is that this impacts our spiritual sensitivity as well. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. On Wednesday night, we were talking about the world of spiritual warfare. And we talked about dreams at the very end. We had a question. We opened it up for questions. And there was some questions about, well, what do we do with dreams? Listen, we concluded and we shared that we should consider this to be a blessing, not a curse, because God has entrusted us with something very, very special. And though we might consider it to be a cross to bear, I want you to understand this. The Lord's going to give us increased sensitivity, increased spiritual skills, and an increased spiritual gifting. But when that happens, church, listen, when these things are taking place, warfare is going to increase. And that's why we're going through these things on Wednesday nights. That's why we're approaching the spiritual warfare topic early on, because we're learning and we're growing. And you know what happens when you grow and you're more of a sharper instrument in the Lord's hands? The enemy's going to try and dull you down. So listen, you if you have that gift and that sensitivity, that skill, that gifting to have dreams and visions and to have the interpretation of them, don't run from it. Lean into it. We talked about that. Lean into it. because God wants to use that for his glory and your growth, for his glory and your growth. Remember this scripture? This is the memory verse all throughout the book of Daniel, by the way, 1 Samuel 2:30. For those who honor me, I will honor, God says. It's his promise. If you honor him with these things, he's going to honor you. Now, verses 18 through 21, we see Daniel sees your inspiring provision of their understanding and their undertaking. Verses 18 through 20. Follow along as I read these verses, 18 through 21. It says, now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all these matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm, not just the young boys that were with him. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. 10 times better, it says. We see God's hesed, his covenant care for his children taking place, falling on these young men again. As we leave the first chapter of Daniel, it's critical that we understand that as God's children, we can confidently make our stand spiritually because of his hesed. God will never forget his hesed that he has with his children. Let me end with verse 21. Huge, huge verse for us. Huge transitional verse for us. Verse 21, let me read this. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. What we're seeing here, so you guys understand the time stamp. We're seeing Daniel go from 15 to 90, literally. A 75-year jump in time. And it says that he continued faithfully. He continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Some 75 years later, Daniel's been faithful. I think it's worth the 10 seconds it states to say that back in verse 18 or verse 8, this is how he began. Daniel began this way, and he has continued to the end of his days in the exact same way. Two things not to downplay the value of is a strong beginning and continued obedience. And that's what we need to have, a strong beginning. And listen, if you've had a bad beginning, you know what? Then start today. Make it a start beginning, a good start beginning today. Start it and then continue in it. Great way to end chapter 1 because it sets up the whole rest of the book of Daniel. How Daniel began is how he will continue, and we'll see him end. So let's be like Daniel. Let's stand up for the purpose that God has given to us, to be convicted of the Holy Spirit and to follow through with that. And let's do it early. Let's trust the Lord fully with our lives. I'm going to share one more thing, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm just telling you there's multiple scriptures I want you to hold on to as we end this, continuing that Daniel, that we're seeing in the life of Daniel. I want two words to be etched into your minds and your hearts today, and that is finish strong. Finish strong. And we see that principle over and over and over in scripture. Jesus said this, Matthew 25:21. You know what he said? He says, listen, I'm going to emphasize the words so you don't miss this. Well done. Well done. Well completed, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is something to finishing and to finish well that God is honored by, that God blesses, that he commends. Acts 20:24. I'll just give you 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, 2 Timothy 4:7, finishing the race, Hebrews 12:1-3. We talk about the finisher of our faith over and over, Galatians 6:9, Philippians 3:14, over and over and over. There's got to be a deliberate purpose, pressing towards the prize. It's always about that race. It's always about finishing. If you're going to run the race, why don't you run the race to win? Finish strong. That is what Daniel did. That's the example that we're going to see. We're going to glean. One of the things that we're going to do through the book of Daniel, as we've already been doing, we're just going to be pulling out these things that Daniel did and the conduct that he had, but also the insights that he had. We're going to be looking Daniel chapter 2. He's going to go into some pretty good spiritual stuff. He's going to talk about the kingdoms on the earth, but we're not there yet. So I just want you to remember this. God wants you to finish strong. He wants you to finish well. He wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I think that our participation, because he's going to say that to us, but our participation needs to be, we need to make the efforts now so that we can hear those words truly, faithfully, one day. Let's pray.